The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Masurowski.
An Air France flight bound for Detroit was forced last evening to divert to Canada after being barred from entering the U.S. due to concerns over the Ebola virus. The plane was eventually allowed to land in Detroit. Starting today, the Department of Homeland Security says any foreign travelers who have been to Congo, Uganda, or South Sudan in the last 21 days will now have to fly into Washington Dulles Airport only. Dr. Celine Gowder, CBS medical correspondent, answers the question that many in the public are asking about Ebola.
Should people be worried about this? No. No, you're not going to catch Ebola from sitting next to somebody who doesn't have symptoms on the plane. And I think it was really sending the wrong message for the flight attendants to be masking up, because that's going to be scaring people unnecessarily.
For sure. All right. That plane, by the way, was diverted to Montreal, where that passenger was let off before the plane went on to Detroit.
Can't imagine being on that plane.
And hearing who you're
They made the announcement over the loudspeaker. You got everyone putting on masks. Kind of crazy stuff.
That really is.
More on the CDC starting those screenings at U.S. airports.
Americans arriving from Uganda, the Democratic Republic of Congo, or South Sudan will be screened at U.S. airports, including O'Hare International here in Chicago, where the CDC says the danger is low. Amid temperature checks, contact tracing, and other testing requirements, with non-citizens coming from those African areas being denied entry. In a preventative push to keep Ebola out of the U.S. The screening's now in effect for 30 days, and travelers are being urged to also pay close attention to symptoms of Ebola that include high fever, vomiting, and unexplained bleeding. In Chicago, Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Thousands of air passengers facing delays from New York City as repair crews work to fill a sinkhole that appeared on one of LaGuardia Airport's runways yesterday.
The Port Authority found that sinkhole late this morning during a routine inspection. The runway was immediately shut down for obvious safety reasons. Planes can't be landing or taking off with a sinkhole in the runway, but that knocked out one of the airport's two runways. LaGuardia is known to have one of the tightest schedules with planes landing almost every 1 to 3 minutes, so you can only imagine the impact.
It's had a huge impact on hundreds of flights yesterday and this morning.
Well, believe it or not, we're just a week away from Great Lakes cruise ships making a stop in Buffalo.
Don't, for even 1 minute, discount the impact that one Great Lakes cruise ship filled with passengers and crew members can mean for Buffalo. When the first ship arrives on May 28th, it will bring passengers with a lot of discretionary income in their wallets to spend at local attractions, restaurants, and stores. That, in fact, is a key talking point, says Patrick Kaler, Visit Buffalo president.
This is a little bit more affluent traveler. They have a little bit more time on their hands for travel as well. And so, again, to get the opportunity to give them a taste of Buffalo, so that they'll come back again in the future, is a great opportunity for our overall tourism industry.
Just the seven times this summer that American Cruise Line docks its American Patriot ship and its 130-plus passengers at the Erie Basin Marina, it could lead to at least $1.5 million in new dollars being spent in the region. Last year, Cleveland said Great Lakes cruise ships left behind an economic impact of more than $16 million. Let me say that again. Cleveland last year saw $16 million in economic impact from Great Lakes cruise ships. This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
All right, Jim, thank you for that. And the Buffalo School Board last night passed a $1.4 billion budget for next school year. It includes the elimination of 51 central office positions, closes two schools, and cuts programs serving Native American and culturally diverse students. $8 million is being set aside for special education. The vote was unanimous. It came hours after concerns were shared by parents and others about the Native American cultural cuts.
Well, the Sabres packing up for the offseason yesterday. Lots of questions facing the team on how they build off of this year. The big question, will Alex Tuch be back. Talk, due to become an unrestricted free agent July 1st. Sabres GM Jarmo Kekalainen on the decision both sides face.
We've talked about it all season long when these questions arise, that he's been an important part of our success. He's always getting some of the most ice time for any of the forwards. Killing penalties, playing power play, he's a consistent goal scorer. You know, he's a valuable part of our team. But just like I've told him and I tell everybody in the same situation, we make our decisions based on how can we make our team better. And we have to come to an agreement that this is the type of contract that we can still make our team better, and hopefully we can do that.
Talk on what lies ahead.
Jarmo once again expressed his desire to have me back on the team. Obviously, he'll be in touch with my agent, and throughout the playoffs, it hasn't been a focus of mine at all. Obviously, the next month or so, I'm going to have to make some decisions here.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks with Tuck and the Sabres, with a lot of other players, potentially. And the Sabres.
And the draft is coming up.
You got the draft coming up in just about a month or so. Free agency right after that. And it's all happening a little bit faster than we're normally talking about around here.
It's true. Last month, WBEN's Tom Puckett joined 37 veterans for an honor flight. As we prepare for Memorial Day, Tom takes us to the monuments made so we can remember.
My granddaughter is a veterinarian. What a surprise. She drove in to meet me tonight.
An emotional Tom Cloudon Jr. got a surprise as he sat down to dinner on the Saturday evening of Honor Flight Weekend.
I was so surprised. I couldn't hold it back. She's just a great kid.
His granddaughter, Michaela, a veterinarian from Philadelphia, came down.
It ended up being incredibly nice. All of my resident mates were very willing to help move schedules and make sure that I had off this weekend so that I was able to come and give this surprise. So I have to thank all of the people that I work with, and I have to thank this guy to my right here, because without my grandfather, there wouldn't have been a Dr. Cloudon, and I get to have that because of him.
Cloudon's son John helped with the surprise.
I've been texting and sending pictures home to the family in Buffalo, and everybody, and Michaela's on the text, and she said, I could drive down, I'm off today, can I come down? And I go, okay, well, we're doing dinner after dinner, I didn't know.
And John says the Honor Flight team was more than happy to arrange that surprise. For Russ Casterline, he became emotional seeing his grandson, Adam Liberty.
I couldn't hold it back, all right? I just broke down. I couldn't. Even talking to it right now, I can feel my eyes getting watery.
Adam says he was surprised by his grandfather's reaction.
Honestly, when I saw him, I kind of didn't expect the reaction that he gave, and it choked me up a lot. And it really means a lot to have me, my older brother, and my grandfather here, and to see the way he's getting treated, it's unbelievably good.
Jonathan Liberty served as Casterline's guardian and helped arrange Adam's visit.
He moved out to Manchester, New Hampshire a couple months ago, so the opportunities for Adam to see our grandpa are a little bit fewer and far between as they have been in the past, so I just know it was really important for him, and he found a way to make it down here, so it was really special. It was a great moment to watch that happen.
And that was the latest in a series of surprises for Russ. Earlier that day, he received an Ambassador of Peace Medal at the Korean Memorial. And just before dinner, was told he'd be part of the wreath-laying ceremony the next day at Arlington National Cemetery. And online at WBEN.com, we have photos of another surprise for all the veterans taking part. Tune in tomorrow when we wrap up the series with how Honor Flight has helped heal those who took part. With the Veterans of Honor Flight in Washington, D.C., Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
Wow, really nice. What a great surprise for so many of those veterans to have family members right there.
All there, really cool.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Cool to see.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Clouds around the area this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon with temperatures in the upper 50s. For tonight, partly cloudy and cool. Overnight lows again in the low 40s. On Friday, partly sunny with highs in the mid 60s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
Larry Scott, Buffalo School Board member, is on the Bison Automotive Live Line. The Buffalo School Board has approved a new $1.4 billion budget. Larry, there was a lot on the table for this budget. Two school closings, central office job cuts. In the end, how did it go?
Well, good morning, Brian and Susan. Yeah, it certainly wasn't
a budget that I was completely pleased with having to vote for. But given financial restraints and $80 million deficit, I think it was close to what we needed to do in order to ensure that we're delivering education and programming and supports to our students, while also eliminating, I think, some top-heavy positions instead of incurring all the cuts and reductions in the classroom.
You mentioned the big part right there, $80 million deficit. I know the budget uses over $65 million in savings to help cover those costs, but that $80 million deficit, how did we get there?
Well, the big issue is that a few years ago, with COVID and the pandemic, there was an influx of federal funds, and that then bloated many departments, many programs and contracts were added. And when that money ran out 2 years ago now, I believe, we haven't reduced back down to where we were before that funding came in. So some of the departments, especially some that we heard from yesterday, they are incurring some reductions, bringing them back down to pre-COVID staffing levels. And the other part is that we have been hearing over and over that we need to close schools. And we botched that earlier this year, and it's something that's absolutely going to be necessary for next year going into the following budget year, or else we're going to continue to incur a deficit and be drawing from our savings and getting to a place of insolvency if we continue to do that.
Has the decision been made on which two schools will close, or is that still to come?
A decision has not yet been made. We're expecting to hear more as a board in the fall. The district has decided internally to do their own study and make determinations and recommendations to us on schools that could close. And there is conversation about it potentially being more than two schools.
Okay, well, that's an interesting conversation that's still happening right now. You mentioned at the top of some of the positions that were cut, 51 central office positions. You said top heavy. What exactly was eliminated here, and how would you describe, you know, some of those maybe top-heavy positions that are not going to be part of the district anymore?
Well, 51 of those positions in central office, of those 51, about 36 were vacant. So the remainder were actual positions. What happened was, is teachers on special assignment, coordinators were hired and added to the central office departments. And some of those positions have been eliminated. And so those senior staff that are in those positions could be then returning to classroom positions. And it's always been my take that our staff are better served working directly with our students in the classroom. Not sitting in central office. They certainly play a role. We need people to be consulting, coaching. But at some point when we're faced with having to reduce a deficit, we have to take a serious look at whether the importance of that role compared to a position that's serving directly our students in the classroom.
We're speaking with Larry Scott, Buffalo School Board member, on the budget just approved last night. What does this budget mean for class sizes in schools going forward?
So a study was done on class sizes, and it was found that in some schools, class sizes were quite low. And so the average class size, as a result of some reductions in the classrooms and merging classrooms, the average class size will move from 19 to 21.
Okay. Investment in special education that I know was part of this budget. How difficult can it be in making a budget and deciding on some of these things when I know the need for special education is only getting greater by the year when you see, you know, how some of these kids are entering school and some of the needs they have, you know, as young as kindergarten, to be able to meet those needs and be able to teach those kids, invest in that while still dealing with this deficit and having to make all these cuts elsewhere.
Yeah, that's where I am actually quite proud that we are making an investment and adding 58 additional special education staff. And we are beginning a therapeutic program at School 27. We heard from parents and staff about the growth in the need for educating and meeting the needs of students with autism in our schools. The growth is significant over the past few years, over 120-something classrooms now that we have serving students with autism. It's absolutely necessary, and I recently wrote an op-ed that was published about how I believe, in partnership with the state, with the city, and maybe some local colleges and universities and private entities, that we need to create a state-of-the-art therapeutic school for our students with severe disabilities and mental health needs. It's something that's absolutely necessary. As you mentioned, Brian, it's a growing need and something that we need and need help from other entities to fund it, invest in it, and have it operate in a way that's functional and serving that population.
Larry, thank you for joining us this morning and bringing us the latest on this new budget.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.